Every word of God is sacred, and all scripture is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That sacred and inspired word, which forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, the first 11 verses. One time, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there along the lake shore. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we worked hard all through the night and caught nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were about to tear apart. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." But Peter and all those with him were amazed at the number of fish they caught, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on you will be catching people." After they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. What was the most memorable day of work you have ever experienced? Well, I myself personally had had many more forgettable days of work, I think, than memorable ones, at least before I became a pastor. But I think the most memorable thing that ever happened to me while I was on the clock happened when I was living in Madison, Wisconsin in 2009. I was a cashier at the local Walgreens there. I just happened to ring up a famous college basketball coach, perhaps the most famous coach alive, the legendary Hall of Famer Bob Knight. He was in town that day to call that night's game on ESPN, and it just so happened to be Valentine's Day. He came into Walgreens, he bought a Valentine's card for his wife, and I just happened to be the person that checked him out and wished him to have a good day. The only thing was, I did not realize that at the time. I didn't realize who that was. It was the next person in line who informed me who I had just checked out. I couldn't believe it. The most famous person that I ever encountered, and I didn't even recognize who it was. I tried to get my store manager to give me the security camera footage so I could verify the encounter and perhaps show my friends, but he wouldn't for security reasons. And I was so disappointed. I mean, this was greatness that went through my line. This was a man who coached the Indiana Hoosiers to the last perfect season in college basketball. It was Valentine's Day at Walgreens. We're just trying to get people in and out of the store, and I was a bit preoccupied at the moment, but still disappointed. I'll never forget that one time that I forgot to look up at Bob Knight. In our text this morning, we get an account of a very memorable day of work for the Apostle Peter. Well, it was a night of work, but that part was not so memorable. In work terms, Peter was working the third shift. Some jobs just have to be worked at night. And if you were fishing the Sea of Galilee, if you were serious, you fished at night. But the real catch wouldn't happen at nighttime. It would happen in broad daylight for everyone to see. Peter came face to face with real greatness there that day, and one insignificant and forgettable night of work would turn into a day that would change and define his life forever. And that is the effect of Jesus. He calls out and people are changed. He calls out his word and lives are changed. When he calls us, we end up in places where we never would have been before. And when he calls, we follow. One time, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there along the lake shore. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. Wherever Jesus went, the crowds followed him. Whether he was visiting a synagogue or whether it was like this, just walking throughout the countryside, the crowds always followed along with Jesus. They were, on this occasion, Luke tells us, so massive that they were pressing in on him. Why did Jesus draw such a crowd? Well, for a number of reasons. Many different sorts of people came out to see Jesus. Many people were drawn to him. He would attract the attention of the curious, who no doubt had heard what he had done previously. He would also draw many people who saw him as a threat. People wanted to go out to see him, to listen to him, like the Pharisees, to see if they could catch him in a trap or use something he said later on. And then, of course, there were always people who came to Jesus who were needful. The lame, the deaf, the mute, the blind. Anyone who had a sickness would come to Jesus because they might be healed by him. Perhaps some people came to Jesus just to see a miracle. But being masked by a crowd is not an ideal way to talk or to teach them. And Jesus didn't carry around a podium everywhere he was. He didn't have a microphone or a loudspeaker to project his voice. So what Jesus does is something very practical here. He sees two boats on the lake, and then he gets into one. Jesus asks Peter to put the boat out a little bit farther. That way, the great crowd might be able to see him. And if you've ever been on a boat on the water, you know the acoustic and amplifying effect that water has on sound. Even the smallest sound on water can carry a great distance. What Jesus does here is very practical. The crowd would be able to see him better out there on the lake, and they'd be able to hear him better on the water. And then he sat down and he taught the people. The traditional and customary way that the Jewish people were taught is a little bit contrary to what we're used to here in America. Right now I am standing up and you are sitting down, you are listening and I am speaking. This is how it's done over here, not just only in church, but also at school. Traditionally, the teacher stands and teaches, and the students sit and listen. But that was not the way it was done in Israel. In the synagogue, the teacher would sit down, and the listeners would stand. Here, Jesus taught the people, and he sat down, and they listened to what he was saying, which was the word of God. Yes, this commandeering Peter's vessel and having him set out and teach was a very practical thing that Jesus does, but was also very personal. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, perhaps this tip from Jesus would seem a little obvious to us. We know how the story turns out. We've heard it before. Why wouldn't Peter just automatically do what Jesus tells him to do here? Well, for starters, how about the fact that Peter had worked all night before this and hadn't had any success? He had worked in the nighttime, the time where the fish were the most easy to catch. You think if he would have gotten anything, it would have been at night. But Jesus knew better. But how was Peter just going to simply catch fish? The fact of the matter is, what Jesus tells Peter to do here does not make any sense at all, not least from a fisherman's point of view. After all, Jesus didn't have any expertise in fishing. He was a carpenter's son. Fishing, to us, seems like a pastime, something that we do to enjoy nature, to get out there and relax. But that was not how Peter saw fishing. That was Peter's living. It was his career. He was a fisherman. And no doubt he had fished that lake, Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, if you will, for his entire life. On top of it all, Jesus tells Peter to go out into the deep, a place where the fish would be the least likely to be. One perhaps wouldn't blame Peter for him politely declining what Jesus tells him to do here. He had just worked all night, no doubt he was tired. And now Peter's just supposed to do these things that don't make sense to him, a fisherman, because Jesus told him to. Simon answered, and Master, we had worked hard all through the night and caught nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. In the Gospels, Peter is not always necessarily the character we want to reflect. He has impulsive traits, he's very strong-willed, he's stubborn. But in this case, we really could take a page from Peter's book. The way that we typically think about things, I think in life for the most part, is to be cautious. We like to weigh the pros and the cons of certain decisions. Before we make a decision, we like to take time, him and haw over whether or not it makes sense. Of course, it is a good idea to do these things, to take time with our decisions in this life, but not when the master tells you to do something. What Jesus told Peter to do went against every instinct Peter had as a fisherman. This could have been seen as an exercise in futility. But this was Jesus. This was the master. Peter didn't overanalyze this command. He told him how unsuccessful he had been, but at his word, he would let down the nets. And what was the result? When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were about to tear apart. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Well, the result was only the greatest catch that Peter had ever seen. So successful was this attempt that Peter required assistance from the other vessel to help reel all the fish in. Their nets started to break. Once they got all the fish onto the boats, they began to almost sink because they were so heavy with fish. What did this catch mean? Well, to hand-to-mouth fishermen like Peter, James, and John, this was a complete game changer. Not only would this catch make their financial year, that was probably their retirement right there. They probably were set for life after this catch. It was not an overwhelming amount of fish, though, that changed Peter's life that day. It was the person, rather, in the boat who really changed his life. And you can see that reflected in Peter's response here to Jesus. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." Peter's reaction here really reminds one of Isaiah when he was called as well. Isaiah, when he was confronted by the sight of the Lord of hosts, said, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Peter did not jump for joy here when he catches this great catch. Instead, he's amazed. He's terrified. He could see that the person who told him to do this was not just a carpenter's son. This was not just a mere mortal. This was the Son of God in his boat. It was his Lord. Where some might have only seen coincidence, Peter, by faith, saw him for what he really was. This was true power, true holiness, true righteousness. Have you ever heard the phrase, "There are many ways to skin a cat"? A curious phrase, no doubt, as in, I don't assume many people are skinning cats, but this phrase truly applies to fishing. There's most definitely more than one way to catch a fish. Personally, I do enjoy fishing. I have not been in a long time, and I don't know a whole ton about fishing, but even I know that this is the case. There's many different ways you can catch a fish. You can use many different baits. You can use night crawlers. You can use leeches. You can use lures. You can fish from a boat, or you can fish off a dock. You can use a troll motor, or you can use waders and fly fish. The important thing is that the fish bite. Jesus was always followed by crowds for various reasons, but the real reason Jesus was followed by the crowds was because of who this was, who this is. If Jesus was not the Son of God, if he was not the Messiah, the people would have gone out, they would have looked, and they would have left. But Jesus has staying power because he has true power and because he has the power to heal souls. He has the power to change our lives. Yes, Jesus attracted curious people, needful people, hateful people. But from all of these categories, there would be people who would come to know what Peter knew that day, that this was not just a carpenter's son. Zacchaeus, the man, was very curious to see Jesus, so curious, in fact, that he climbed up an entire tree just to catch a glimpse. But when Christ called him in the tree, his life was changed. There are plenty of people who needed to be healed by Jesus, who believed that he was their Lord. Take, for instance, the man who had the legion of demons inside of him. After Jesus healed this man, he wanted to stay with Jesus, to follow after him. Jesus told him to go home and to tell others how God had done great things for him. And that's what he would do. He went home and he would tell others how God had healed him, had changed his life. Or take Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the Pharisee. Perhaps his first involvement with Christ was to get dirt on him, to maybe see if they could use something, the Pharisees could use something, to prosecute Jesus later down the road. But after meeting with Jesus, Nicodemus too could see this was not just a Nazarene. He would hear the sweet gospel message from Jesus' lips himself that he was the Son of God, that all the world's sins would be paid by him. When Jesus was crucified, when he was lifted up, it'd be Nicodemus who would help bury him. The same is true for us as well. Just like those individuals, and just like Peter, James, and John, Jesus has come into your life as well to change it. The way that Jesus lived his life changes our lives. It gives our lives new meaning, new purpose. Because Jesus came to this earth, because he perfectly obeyed God and his will, then lovingly gave his life on the cross, it now means that we get his righteousness. You now are more than just someone who is making their way in this world, trying to do their best. No, now you are a Christian who trusts in Christ for your salvation. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on, you will be catching people." After they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. What happened after this catch of a lifetime? Did Peter, James, and John then cash in and live the good life? No. Instead, they left it all behind. Presumably, someone looked after those fish and those boats, but Peter was no longer simply a fisherman. Now he would fish for men. When Jesus says catching people, it brings a few images up into my mind. I don't know about yours. It kind of sounds ominous to me. To catch someone infers that someone either needs to be caught or you seize them. This, of course, is not what Jesus is talking about here when he says Peter would catch men. The word here for catch has an interesting idea behind it. It means to catch, yes. To catch as in when a soldier takes another soldier at wartime. It means to catch alive. There are many ways to catch fish. And one of the hardest things for me when I was learning how to fish as a young child was the idea of catch and release. I had done all this work to reel this fish in, and now I just toss it back? My father told me I had to release it. I was resentful. Probably, in all reality, that fish was only a fish stick and not the fillet that I imagined. We have been captured by the gospel, captured alive. Capture has such a negative context to it, but there's nothing negative about being captured by Jesus. God's net has been spread over us, and it is God's word that has reeled us in. Now we get to go out and try to give others that same hope that we have been given. Being captured by Jesus is what makes us truly alive. after this miracle took place, Jesus called these men to follow him, and they did. He has also called you to follow him. So we do. We can't physically follow Jesus like Peter and the sons of Zebedee did, but we are his disciples. We follow him and we do what he tells us to do. That does not always say that it goes swimmingly. We don't always act like Peter did in this instance, obeying what Jesus said just because it was Jesus who said it. Sometimes we overanalyze, psych ourselves out of doing something that we know we should for the Lord. Sometimes we don't think at all. We just take what we don't take what Jesus says to heart, and we instead do what we want to do. But there are a great number of fish out there that need to be captured alive. Only his gospel can do this. And we have been called by Jesus to spread those gospel nets. Where? Well, everywhere. Even in the most unlikely of places. We have been called by the Master, and we need to get to work. Jesus says in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is the day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yes, the night is coming. We need to get to work now in the daylight to catch those fish. We have been changed forever by Jesus and by his gospel. We have the blessed duty to give other people that same hope that you have, to catch them alive and make them alive by his word. The call of Jesus truly takes us to some unique places. Peter didn't think that all those fish would be out there in the deep, but they were. His call also takes us to unlikely places. It takes us to foreign countries, places we never imagined ourselves going. But it also takes us to a place we would never get to on our own. It takes us to heaven. So, follow him. Who else would we follow besides? He is, as Peter calls him here, our Master. He is our Lord. We follow him, and because of his great love for us, we will follow him into heaven forever. Amen. Please rise.